This is Canadian Wealth Wisdom by Tridel to Private Wealth. My name is Kyle Taylor, and I am joined by Michelle Hung, Senior Wealth Advisor with Tridel to Private Wealth. Michelle joined Tridelta in 2024, is the author of two books, and has spent the last 8 years helping Canadians develop meaningful plans to reach their financial goals. Michelle is a graduate from the University of Waterloo with a degree in mathematics and a CFA charterholder. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks, Kyle.
So, Michelle, the purpose of this recording is to go through a real-life case study with an individual that you worked with. Mm-hmm. So I'll provide a bit of an overview of the case itself, and then we'll get into some questions around the meat of the plan and ultimately what the results were and how you came to that recommendation.
Sounds good.
So this case pertains to a 53-year-old divorced mother of two, Allie, has been stuck in analysis paralysis and needs direction on how to best manage her cash flow and investments so she can retire in 11 years at the age of 64. She has two children living with her. One is still a dependent at 15 years old, so she'll be receiving child support for 3 more years. Her other child is in her late 20s with a full-time job, so he contributes to the household, but this will change at some point when he eventually decides to leave the nest. Allie has no TFSA or personal RSP and $60,000 sitting in her savings account she wants to invest. She has a mortgage of $400,000 and would like to be mortgage-free before retirement. The interest rate hikes have eaten into her monthly cash flow like many other Canadians. She will be receiving a full pension from the provincial government in 11 years, 1 year earlier than regular retirement. She currently earns $113,000 per year and has a side business that brings in around $12,000 per year. So what else can you tell me about Allie?
Yeah, so she is willing to downsize her condo at some point. She's in a 3-bedroom in Toronto. So her current condo fee is around $1,180 a month. So it's pretty high. And we all know with condo fees, you know, they can just only go up and it's never ending. Mm-hmm. She has an RESP for her 15-year-old daughter, but not really concerned about additional funding for that account. I believe her ex-husband also contributes to that, so she doesn't really touch that. So child support ends in 3 years. She's currently receiving around $2,000 a month, and her son contributes monthly around $1,000 a month, and we assume this stops in 3 years as well. So these are some of the assumptions in her plan.
And what are her goals?
She wants to pay off the mortgage. She wants to retire mortgage free. Her retirement spending goal, around $45,000 after taxes in today's dollars. She can, you know, she can manage her cash flow pretty well, but, you know, big part of that are, you know, having two kids live with her. And again, as mentioned before, the condo fee is pretty hefty, and she wants to do some traveling.
And you mentioned the retirement age goal of retiring at 64. How important is that to her? Is she looking to kind of, that's a hard stop, or is she willing to work later if she needs to?
Yeah, I think around 64 is good. She just, you know, her concern is, I don't want to work forever. How soon can I retire? So she just said, you know, how about 64 years old? So, you know, our base plan was, let's see what happens at 64. You'll get a full pension. Because the last thing you want is, you know, after working so many years, contributing to your pension, you know, you don't want to shortchange yourself for a lifetime of income.
Mm-hmm. And certainly the provincial government pension will be a huge contributor at building that foundation for the retirement plan, of course.
Absolutely.
So what was your process when getting into the plan?
So the first step was, and I do this with all my clients, is a detailed review of their cash flow, their budget. You know, most people underestimate what they spend, and, you know, it's important to see where their money is going so we can set up a good cash flow, cash allocation strategy. You know, that's going to help with, you know, tax planning and, of course, making sure she really builds up her investment retirement funds, because, you know, as mentioned before, she doesn't have any personal RSPs or TFSA, so it's really important that we start building that up for her if she wants to retire in about a decade. So most important thing was getting her investments going and not letting her money just sit in cash, withering away. And also, I'll mention that divorce for women in their 50s, especially 60s, it gets tougher because, you know, you're time sort of diminishes when it comes to like compounding of your money, and not to mention the emotional toll, all the wealth that's been built up as a couple, being in a marriage, you know, that wealth gets split in half. So, you know, it does get really tough. So that's why I would say financial planning, super important to really just take a hard look at the numbers and developing something to allow someone to really, I guess, just catch up and, you know, put them on track so that they're not working till they're 75 years old, or, you know, even worse, they run out of money and solely retiring on government benefits.
Mm-hmm. And so what ultimately was the recommendation taking this into account?
So the first thing was she had $60,000 in savings sitting in cash. So the allocation I recommended was $15,000 in RRSP. Because she has a side business, she brings in additional income. We kind of want to lower that that tax bill a bit. So, and she has nothing in her RSP, so $15,000 there. And then the rest, $45,000 in her TFSA. So I made it her primary goal to max out her TFSA. So any excess monthly savings will be directed in her TFSA. Her asset mix is aggressive, so all equities. As one, she's just starting her investing journey, so she needs to catch up. So really, like, needing to grow her money for her. And the second thing is, she is unionized. She works for the provincial government, so there is job security there. She's paying into a pension. So that's kind of treated like a fixed income, which allows her to be aggressive with her personal investments. And then in terms of the mortgage, so of course she was on a variable rate, and the rates kept going up and up. And so I advised, put $2,000 extra per month for the next 3 years while she still has extra cash flow that's coming from from child support and from son's contribution to the household. So really utilizing the cash flow for the next couple of years that's coming in, an extra $2,000 for a couple of years, and then after that $1,000 per month into her mortgage. We want to pay that down, so it's so that, you know, her mortgage is not 87 years. But the other thing is, we don't want to dump everything in, because one, we really want to beef up her investments. We don't want to put too many, like, all your eggs in one basket into a mortgage, especially since, you know, it's like there's a likelihood that she will be downsizing. She's going to be selling the property anyways. So not too much towards her mortgage, but also enough where she is still making a dent in the mortgage.
And I see here too that you mentioned deferring CPP and OAS to 70 years old. Now, that's often a key question for a lot of new retirees on, you know, do they take OAS or CPP early? Do they take OAS and CPP later? How did you come about with that? Was there any concern around clawback? I know that sometimes with people with pensions, that can be, you know, a bit of a, it limits your flexibility a bit on that front.
Mm-hmm. So she can certainly defer CPP, OAS, and several reasons. One, after running the numbers, there is no OAS clawback. And I think a big part of that, especially because she has a pension as well, is her RSPs are very low. She's just starting now, and we're not prioritizing RSPs because she does have a pension. So there's no, an income stream coming from that, like not a substantial one. So she won't have OAS clawback. And another thing is, she's very healthy. So, one of the things is, you know, to make that decision for those that are like, oh, I'm not going to live very long. You know, they're, you know, maybe they have an unhealthy lifestyle, or maybe they don't even have a desire or will to live a long time. And they'll just start taking CPP, OAS as soon as possible. But for her, she's healthy. And on top of that, as mentioned before, she does have a side business that she can continue. She has expressed that she'll continue working on that after 65 years old. So having that income stream early, like in the early retirement years, allows her to, you know, supplement any cash flow, any shortfall in cash flow if there is. I don't see any so that she doesn't have to tap into her TFSAs at that age.
So I wanted to get into the results of this. Maybe we can start with the mortgage, because that was certainly a key component. And you know, there's often differing opinions about debt, especially as people transition into retirement. So I guess my first question around the mortgage is, will this have her pay off the mortgage in time for retirement or around retirement?
So at this rate, with the current plan, she will pay off her mortgage 2 years after her desired retirement. So it'll take about 13 years. But again, she has, and I brought this up to her, I was like, I was honest with her, I was like, you're not going to be able to pay off your mortgage at this rate, even if you're making these additional payments, because it's a fairly large mortgage on a single income. Rates have gone up substantially since you got the mortgage. So this is the reality. But if your other options are, if you downsize, then you can certainly sell the place. There's a lot of equity in it. She has a 3-bedroom condo in Toronto. She can retire mortgage free if she took that option, and she was absolutely willing to do that.
I'm sure that's a big consideration too, because of course, as you know, the kids leave the nest, mm-hmm. and maybe you're not working anymore. I know a lot of people aren't going to the office much more anymore, but you have a bit more flexibility on where you want to live as well in retirement. So, you know, selling a Toronto and condo can go a long way elsewhere, of course, as we know.
Absolutely.
And can she meet her retirement goal at 64?
Absolutely. She can retire at 64 years old. She'll have a nice pension going. Even better if she waits another year, because then she'll get a little bit more money. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessary. If she really wants to stop working, then it's the option is there for her.
Okay. And you know, you mentioned around trying to maximize the TFSA contributions. Does she, when in the plan, is she required to tap into those TFSAs and transition to that decumulation phase?
So she will be, the plan says that she could be tapping into her TFSAs for a couple of years at 64, at 65 years old, just for a couple of years until she starts taking CPP and OAS. And then afterwards, she can start accumulating savings again after all those years. If she did not defer her CPP and OAS, and this is one of the prime reasons why I recommend deferring it, is because she later on in her years, she will start tapping into her TFSAs. So I prefer that they don't have to tap into their investment accounts later on in the year, because you know, you don't know how much longer you'll be living. And if you really want to take money out of your TFSA for additional, cost of living, maybe she's going on huge trips, the option is there for her for these more discretionary spending, fund spending, as opposed to, she really needs to tap into her TFSA to survive off of. So that was a primary reason why I suggested, okay, maybe defer CPP and OAS. And because it shows that she will be tapping into her TFSAs the first couple years of retirement, as mentioned, she does still work. She has a side business. If she wants to make more money, she can absolutely do that to supplement some of the shortfall. And also, if she wants to work another year and retire at 65, then that is an option for her. So you have more options in your 60s than you do in your 90s.
And one component we didn't talk about that maybe we can wrap up with was around legacy. Now, does she plan or have any goals in mind around leaving, buying money for her children? Or is it mainly about protecting her lifestyle while she's retired?
Yeah, so, and I asked her that, and we had that discussion, and she doesn't really have much of a desire to leave stuff, leave a legacy for her children. And even when we talked about putting additional money into RESP, she's like, yeah, it'll be good if I have extra money. But she has the mindset that, I believe my children can basically, create a life of their own. They don't need my money. I'm not one of those parents who will just give them everything and they will be just fine. So, and every parent is different. Some parents will want to give the entire world to their children. Some are like, and this is out of love as well, right? Like parents love their children, but they parent differently. So for her, she, you know, coming from, you know, a developing country, she's had to hustle, and she is just passing that on to her, those, I guess, those values to her children.
I think that's a great point to wrap it up on. Thanks again for joining me, Michelle. That concludes this recording of Canadian Wealth Wisdom.